count. And over the past 8 weeks that we've been in this chapter, we've been talking about the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are what a Christian is made of, his character, what his life is supposed to be characterized by. We talked about him being merciful and a peacemaker, pure in heart, those who mourn, those who are poor in spirit, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's the character of the Christian. And that's not just, you know, we're made up of some of those things or like spiritual gifts, we might have one of those. No, Jesus is telling us that all of us are to be characterized by all of these things. Every person here who's a follower of Jesus Christ is supposed to be meek. And so we've discussed this over the past 8 weeks, and today we're gonna move on into kind of a different section where Jesus is talking about how a Christian then, with this character, engages the world. How does he live? How does she live? How does she interact with the people in the world around her? So I'm going to read verses 13 through 16 of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus tells his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask, God, that you would open up our minds and our hearts to receive it. Show us, Lord, how we can be salt and light to those around us. And Lord, this is not a suggestion by Jesus. It's a command. He tells us we are to be salt and light to those around us. Show us how. We pray that your Spirit would lead us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, the Beatitudes showed us the character of the Christian. These verses that follow tell us how the Christian then is supposed to engage the world. And so if you could look into a Christian's most innermost being, you would see a person who is not prideful. They're not prideful, but poor in spirit. A person who mourns over their sin. A person who's meek because they don't demand what's coming to them. They don't stand on their rights. They often will simply wait for God to give them what He wants to give to them. They're hungry for righteousness, but these people are also persecuted for it. They give mercy to those around them that don't deserve it. They love purity, and they're going to pursue peace instead of holding a grudge. We talked about all these things again over the last several weeks. They've been changed on the inside by the grace of God. They belong to His spiritual kingdom. But they also live in the same world that they always have. So even though you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ and you've been changed on the inside, you still live in the same world on the outside. The world is just the same as it was before. You just have a different attitude toward it. And so Jesus here, He understands this better than anyone. Because Jesus is the perfect picture of the Beatitudes. And so as we read these verses here, it is Christ Himself that we are looking at. He's the model that all the other sculptures are carved from. And so we, like our Master, are to make a difference in the world that we live in, although we have a different character in that world. I'd like for us to notice two things in this passage that are implied in what Jesus is teaching to His church. He's giving His church first a command, and He's also giving His church a warning. First, the command. Jesus' command to the church is this: influence the world that you live in. Influence the world that you live in. And He uses two very necessary everyday things to get His point across as He is teaching these people. Things that are still very common to us. He uses salt and He uses light. First, salt. He says, "You are the salt of the earth," to these people. You're the salt of the earth. And salt has two very basic uses for food. The first one is it is used as a preservative. It's used to preserve food. In the time of Jesus, there was no refrigeration. You know, I know it's as a concept, we get that. I get that as a concept, but I have never lived in a time when there was not refrigeration. Maybe a few of you all have, but I would say most of the people in this room could agree with that. You've not ever known a time when you didn't have a refrigerator. I can go to the grocery store and I can buy as much meat as I can afford, as long as I have this freezer space to hold it. As long as I've got the space to hold it, I can put it up and I can eat it whenever I want after I thaw it out. I don't have to worry about the food going bad, as long as I keep that big box plugged in, right? Or the power doesn't go out when I don't notice it. But in Jesus' day, the only way meat was eaten was either fresh, right off the bone of the animal, right then and there, or if it had been preserved by salt. And no doubt, when Jesus was a boy, he watched his mom in the kitchen or whatever they had rubbing salt on the meat of an animal in order to preserve it so her family could eat it later. Jesus would have seen this. And if this hadn't been done in his home, decay would have set in. Bacteria would have begun to eat the flesh of that animal and it would have spoiled. So that's the first thing that salt is used for. It is used as a preservative for meat. The second thing, I mean, we still do it today. We put salt on our food because it's bland, right? It improves taste. I don't need to say a whole lot about that. I think we all kind of get that. So the first thing that Jesus uses, first element that he uses, is salt to tell the church they are supposed to be like salt. The second thing he says is that we're to be like light. We're to be light. He says, you are the light of the world. And just as I take modern refrigeration for granted, many of you all take modern refrigeration for granted too, I also take light for granted. If I want lights in my house, all I have to do is flip on a switch. It's not a very lengthy process, not a difficult process. I expect the power to be there, and when I hit the switch, I do believe that light will come on. But that was not so with those who first heard this message from Jesus. These were people who were able to see either by natural light, by the sun in the daytime, the moon at night, or if they built a fire in some way. Their homes would have been lit by oil lamps. They'd have had wicks down in oil, and they would have lit those, and it would have burnt that oil. So that's what their houses would have been lit by. And because I live in the city, and many of you all live in the city too, it can be completely dark outside, but not really dark. Completely dark, but not really dark. I can look outside my window at 10 p.m. just like you can, and it's still going to be light outside in some way because there's going to be lampposts, right? So even though it's dark outside, it's not really dark. Unless the power grid goes out, I will never be in complete darkness as long as I live here in Buffalo. When I was in the military, I met a couple of guys from New York City. I think they were from Queens. And a lot of our training was done just out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, if you're shooting guns and got grenades going off and things like that, you don't want to be around a lot of people. And so we were out in the woods a lot, out in the darkness, and I can remember meeting guys who had never seen the stars. Never in their life had they ever seen a star, because the light in the city was so bright, it always covered them up. I found that astounding, that they'd never seen stars before. And so light is an afterthought to most of us, but it was really a precious commodity to these people that Jesus first spoke to. That night there on the mountain when Jesus was given this sermon was a cloudy one. I mean, it's possible that a person would not have been able to see their hand in front of their face. It would have been that dark. What a wonderful thing it would have been on a night like that to have plenty of oil in the lamp and plenty of wick to have lit so that you could walk back down those mountain passes without fear of tripping over something or stepping on something that you didn't want to. And so light was very important to these people. Salt and light were two of the most useful things a person could have in the routine of everyday life in Israel 2,000 years ago. And here's why Jesus is telling us that we are supposed to be salt and we're supposed to be light. If we are the salt of the earth, our responsibility is to function in a decaying society as a preservative. We're supposed to preserve society, do things in society that hold it up, and also add flavor to that society. We're to be at work constantly like salt, slowing down the process of decay. That's our job as the church. And because the world is full of spiritual darkness, we are to be light in it, shining brightly into those people and those places that need to be set free from slavery. They need to be set free from their slavery by the love and the truth of Jesus Christ. That is supposed to be our function. The church is supposed to be a gracious gift from God to any society where it is present. When the laws of a government fail to bring justice to the oppressed, fail to protect the weak from the strong, fail to care for the poor, the church is there to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. And in centuries past, when education was needed, when prisons needed to be reformed, when slavery needed destruction, when medical care was required, the Church of Jesus Christ, individual people of God, led the way to meet those needs. They functioned like that back then, the people of God did, and they are to function like that today. It is our responsibility to do this in society because, as we often know, government does fail. The government doesn't always pass just laws. Well, the people of God then are supposed to be there in society to encourage these things to take place. The family is also a gracious gift of God, but we've also seen the breakdown of that. So these elements in society that are also a form of salt, as they break down, the Church of Jesus Christ is to never break down. We are always there to encourage goodness and righteousness in the world. We are not to retreat from what we see in culture. That's been the mistake of so many churches in days and years past, is that because the church does not like what it sees in the culture, it steps away from it. And then loses all influence that it could have had. It retreats out into the darkness. But we're there to involve ourselves in the culture and make a difference for the sake of Jesus' name. That's what He is calling us to do today, right here in South Buffalo, or if you live in West Seneca or Orchard Park or wherever you're from. Christ is calling us to make a difference in society. We're not going to be satisfied to watch the world rot or destroy itself. Love causes Jesus' followers to run toward the fire, not away from it, just like He ran toward us when we were in great need. So that's the first thing. Jesus gives the command to the church that we are to influence the world, not retreat from it, but to be salt and light, preserving and speaking truth and righteousness and goodness into it. The second thing that Jesus says here that He's telling us is He's giving us a warning. Giving us a warning of how we're supposed to function, or if we don't function the way that we're supposed to in society. And He's telling us, do not lose your distinctiveness. Do not lose what makes you different. In order for us to truly influence the culture, we have to be different. It is a must. This is what Jesus is telling us when He says that the salt has lost its taste. When the saltiness is gone, what do people do with it? It's useless. It's not good for anything else. It is thrown out into the streets to be trampled on by men's feet. That's what He's saying that we are like when we are not salty anymore. The one who has been given light to shine, His church has been given a light to shine out into the world. But if we are to hide it instead, we are really no different than the darkness. We're no different. We have no impact on the world, just as darkness has no impact on darkness. Only light does. That's what the church is called to be. And the Christian who has lost his distinctiveness has lost his influence. And the one who loses their influence has no effect on the world for the sake of Jesus Christ. So when you retreat, or you choose not to engage in any way, you lose your influence. And when you lose your influence, you're not going to make an impact on anyone out there in the world. So this is the question that we all should be asking ourselves this morning. Is there more to my Christianity than just the name? Is there more to my being a follower of Jesus Christ than just that I call myself a Christian? In Jesus' words, they challenge us here. Because if the only thing Christian about a person is that that she calls herself that and occasionally goes to a church on Sundays, but she pursues the same objectives as the world by the same means as the world does, with the same character that the world has, then the name means very little. And church on Sunday mornings is nothing more than a hobby. Not a whole lot different than a person who collects rare stamps or likes to scrapbook. And there's nothing wrong with collecting stamps. There's nothing wrong with collecting with scrapbooking. But there is nothing about these activities that make you distinctly Christian. And again, going back to the Beatitudes, this is what Jesus is telling us. If you want to see what a Christian is, he doesn't say they just attend church on Sunday. Or they call themselves this, or that they just read their Bibles. He's showing us the character of a person, the character of a Christian, what they are actually like. There's nothing about these particular activities, he says, that are distinctly Christian. Some of the things that we choose to do with our time are just a matter of taste. They're a matter of personal interest. So the worldly person hears that you like to go to church on Sunday. Well, he says back to you, well, I like to go to the Bills game. To him, you both made choices based on your personal interests. If he doesn't see anything about your life that is different than his, it doesn't matter what you do on Sundays. Going to the Bills game might cause a man to reorder his calendar a certain way, or maybe spend his money on certain things, but it will not make him more pure or righteous or merciful or aware of his spiritual condition. At least I don't think so. But being a Christian, a follower of Jesus, must do these things. They must, because Jesus has given us a new heart. And if he's given us a new heart, how could we not be different than we once were? So in order for Christianity to influence the world, or sometimes we think about the world as this big place, that how in the world am I going to make a difference there? Jesus is calling us to engage our neighbor. And so when we think about that person that you have a heart for, that you're not exactly sure how you're going to engage them, that's who Jesus is telling you to engage. Maybe it's just the person who lives right next door to you. Maybe it's the person who works in the cubicle right next to yours. Whoever that is, he's calling us to engage the world. And we need to be obviously different from the inside out, in a way that puts the beauty of Jesus Christ on display for other people to wonder at it. Why is Lois that way? What makes her different? Because when I get stressed or overwhelmed or I get angry, this is what happens with me, but not Lois. What makes her different? They'll look at you and the way that you live your life, and they will be in awe. And Jesus says here, they'll see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. They'll get an opportunity to understand what is underneath that person that you now are, and they will give glory not to you, but the one who changed you from the inside out, that made you this way, made you a new creation. So when a worldly man has a disagreement, he's going to fight to win at all costs, because being right or getting the better of an argument, that is victory for him. That's the goal, right? But the Christian who is a peacemaker has disagreements too, and his concern is not to win the argument, but to win the person. He wants the person, because that's what Jesus has done for him. The worldly man makes excuses for his failures and covers up his shortcomings. The Christian who is poor in spirit and mourns over his sin, he asks for forgiveness for his failures. And he prays that God would use his shortcomings as an opportunity to show his strength. The worldly man criticizes others for their failures, and he praises himself for how he isn't like them. Remember the Pharisee and the tax collector? The Christian is merciful to others when they have failed, because that is what Jesus has done for him. The worldly man seeks his pleasure in what feels good, and he's led by his flesh. But the Christian man, because he's pure in heart, he seeks to please his Savior. That's who his concern lies with. What does Jesus think about me? And he's led by the Spirit, not the flesh. And so do you see how we're supposed to be different? We make a difference by being different. That's the only way. I mean, I think that maybe we can see even over the last 30, 40, 50 years as we kind of track how Christianity has worked, people trying to engage non-believers in their life, what they have done, it seems, is that instead of trying to be distinctly Christian, trying to be different, they said instead we need to blend in with the world. We need to show them it's okay. We like the same things you do so that we can influence them. But what we've seen is that the world is not influenced by our being like them. The world is only influenced by someone who is completely different than they are. Live in the same world, I get it, maybe in some of the same homes, same cars, same clothes, whatever. But your character is different. There's something different about you. When given an opportunity to switch a couple numbers on your taxes to get a bigger return, you don't do it. It would benefit you in some way, but your pursuit is not yourself anymore. It is to be pleasing to your Savior. When given an opportunity to maybe take some things home from work, everybody else does it. It's just a given, right? You don't. Because you're concerned about being honest. Character matters for the Christian. That's why Jesus started off in the Beatitudes telling us what he's like. And now he's telling us, now based on what he's like, this is how he or she now lives in the world. So we make a difference by being different. And little by little, we influence other people as our new character in Christ is lived out in the world. I mean, how many times have you walked into a conversation, people know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and the conversation just changes? I don't have to get into details. You just know what I'm talking about. The conversation changes. That is what salt does. That's what salt does. It preserves. It lifts up. It makes things last. It makes the conversation just a little bit more wholesome, if that's all that it does. But it changes it. That's what we're called to be. And so as a follower of Jesus Christ, first, be salt and light as you cheer for the Bills. As you collect your rare stamps, as you scrapbook, in a way that brings glory to Jesus Christ first. He's the priority. These things are just things that we get to partake in and enjoy in the world that God has made. Serve in one of our ministries. Serve back behind us here in the Genesis Center, as I know a few of you do. Work with local politicians to make our neighborhoods a better place to live. Volunteer at the hospitals or maybe in our schools to ease suffering or to be a joy in a child's life. Notice the needs of the people on your street and go out and be the person that meets them. Most of the good that this church does will be because the Spirit of God has led you as individuals to go out and do that work. We often think that change happens from the top down, but the influence of Christianity, it's just the way that it works. It generally is bottom up. Just everyday people doing everyday good work, and things are changed. It is not top down. It's not all dictated. It's not all led by leaders, elders, pastors. It's people being what Jesus has made them to be. And they can't help but go out and do good things. They're not doing it for a paycheck, not doing it for a pat on the back, not to be noticed. They just want to do good in the world because Christ has changed them on the inside. So don't think that you need approval from leadership in this church to have a ministry in the world. Your leaders and your elders don't have all the ideas. I can assure you of that. Nor do we have time to implement everybody else's ideas. We need you to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. You don't need a CAS church stamp of approval to start a ministry at a crisis pregnancy center, or to minister to the homeless, or to help people with addictions, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to visit those people in prisons. You don't need anybody's approval to go out and do that. Just go out and be salt and light where God has given you a passion to serve. There are 1,000 ways Christians can make a difference in this city. He is the God of this city. And He will use the people in this city to make a difference. And sometimes that happens when leadership has absolutely nothing to do with it. You have a burden on your heart and you will go out and meet that need. That's what we need here in our church. That's what we need here in South Buffalo. That's what we need in our city. So let the Spirit of God lead you with your gifts that you have, where you have a passion. Pray for guidance. Ask for advice from other people. But go out and be salt, and go out and be light. And you can expect the world to oppose you because you are different, and because you love the things that they don't love. But you are not doing any of this to win their approval. That's not why you do it. You do it because you have the approval of Jesus Christ. And you're His ambassador of love. And He's calling us all to be salt, and He's calling us all to be light in the world, to be different, to slow the decay that we see around us, to shine light into darkness. And it is for His sake, and it is for His glory. And so Jesus gives us the command this morning, go out and influence the world. But He's also giving us the warning, do not lose your distinctiveness. Do not forget what makes you different. It's your character, because He has changed you on the inside. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You that words that were spoken by Jesus 2,000 years ago still have power. They have power to get past the superficial things in life and to penetrate the heart. And so, God, please speak Your words to our hearts this morning. Change us. Help us to see the world more like You do. We don't see it according to the flesh anymore. We see it according to the Spirit, which now we see people as souls. We see people who have needs. And we see, God, that You have given us resources and things to meet those needs. God, help us to be a church that is salt and light in South Buffalo, that even 150, 200 people in this church, God, can make a tremendous difference in a community of 40,000. We need more people brought into this community, God, who are followers of Jesus, to make a difference here. And not just to make lives better, but to change lives by the power of the gospel. Help us, God, to be courageous, to be bold with our words, not to shrink back in fear. Lord, not to blend in with the rest of society. God, lead us to be different. And by being different, God, You tell us that we can change the world. Jesus is not a skeptic of this. He knows that by His authority and His power, things can change with just a small group of people, even 11 or 12 that He sent out Himself. The world was turned upside down. So how can we not think that the people here can also turn our community upside down for You? Give us power from on high to do it. And not to do it for our sake, not to do it for our name, CAS Church, but to do it for Your name and for Your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's Word is good. Jeremy read a little while ago from the devotional that each of us have been given. And again, he mentioned there's some out here in the Welcome Center if you didn't get one last week. Each person here, folks, this is what our church is about. It is about the power of God's Word and His desire to change our lives. So it's not just every week that we come here and we hear the Word. I know that every day your heart is hungry for it. And it's His Word that'll change you from the inside out to live and apply what you read here to your life. I know that every week I am personally challenged by what I see here. I need to be salt and light. I need to find people who need Jesus and engage them. And most of us have been given people, right? Right there around you where you live. It might be somebody in your family. They are actually the world if they don't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we are called to engage those people with the gospel and to do good things for them, even if they are our enemies, so that God would show His glory through us and they would say, wow, what kind of God do they have? There's something different about those people. So let's close this morning and praise God for what He's doing in us and what He still is doing in the world. What a powerful God we serve. Remember, tickets out here in the Welcome Center for the Mother's Day event. Mary Crawley's fundraiser downstairs for those that would like to stay and eat lunch together, raising money to go and serve this summer in the Dominican Republic as she's done in the past. So it supports missions. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Go and be salt and light in the world.